a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and the author of more than 20 books, including No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, an important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeyer. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenbach is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Once again, and thank you for joining us here at Republic Broadcasting Network. Excuse me. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, your host for the remainder of this hour, and you are listening to Datum Line. In our last Datum Line broadcast, Values Clarification Part 20, we again reviewed today's promiscuous or indiscriminate sexual behavior, propelled by religious humanism that was given free expression in academic circles, Hollywood entertainment, mainstream and alternative media, and at all levels of government. Unrestrained behavior is rapidly replacing the old-time religion of self-government that once characterized our colonial forefathers. And those who refuse to govern themselves in harmony with the Bible will be governed by the godmen who make up the rules as they go. Following the devastation of Hurricane Katrina, New Orleans was beset by widespread looting, violence, and even rape as the flimsy moral fiber of that culture began to rot in the sweltering Louisiana sunshine. So who showed up to bring order out of chaos? Federal troops, with enough firepower to earn respect from people unable or unwilling to govern themselves. If it felt good, they did it to whoever was in their way. And who were they? Well, ask a savvy black preacher by the name of Reverend James David Manning, who pointed out that this kind of behavior is not seen among the Japanese whenever they suffer a major disaster, and they've certainly had their share of them. If, as our social engineers insist, we're all the same, why do certain groups manifest predominantly different behavioral traits when facing similar circumstances? Well, why does a chihuahua behave so differently from a golden retriever? Why are pine trees different from oak trees? Of course, we're not supposed to notice any differences between racial groups, although we're somehow supposed to celebrate cultural diversity. But how can we celebrate what we're not allowed to identify or distinguish by the process of discrimination? To discriminate, says Noah Webster, means to make a difference or distinction, to observe or note a difference. This from the American Dictionary of the English Language, published in 1828. In Webster's New World Dictionary for 1966, the word means to constitute a difference between, to differentiate, definition number two, to recognize as being different, end quote. Today, there's a completely different connotation attached to this word, such that it's being virtually eliminated from polite discussion. Much like the word gay, which used to mean merry or jovial. At the start of today's message, I referred to promiscuous behavior as synonymous with indiscriminate behavior, because that's what it means. And in 1828, Noah Webster also tied this word to one that's found in the Bible, when the Israelites married people of forbidden cultures. In Ezra chapter 9, verse 2, from our previous broadcast, we read, "The holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands." Turning to Noah Webster again, he said the word promiscuous is of Latin origin, meaning to mix. Definition number one, mingled, consisting of individuals united in a body or mass without order, confused, undistinguished, as a promiscuous crowd or mass. Definition number two, common, indiscriminate, not restricted to an individual, as promiscuous love or intercourse. Again, from the American Dictionary of the English Language for 1828. Random House College Dictionary for 1982 confirms. The word promiscuous means characterized by frequent and indiscriminate changes of one's sexual partner. Therefore, marriage is a form of discrimination, isn't it? Definition number two, composed of a disorderly mixture of various kinds of elements. Number three, indiscriminate, without discrimination. Synonym, unchaste, confused, mixed, jumbled. End quote. In context with our present series, the words promiscuous or promiscuity are synonymous with confusion, a word the Bible uses in connection with indiscriminate sexual relations. In Leviticus chapter 20, verse 12, for example, the Bible says, if a man also lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. Ouch. They have wrought confusion. The word confusion is from the Hebrew tebel, meaning literally mixture, which implies unnatural bestiality, says Strong's exhaustive concordance to the Bible. Note there are eight Hebrew words, by the way, that can be translated into the English word confusion. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 23, the Bible says, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Again, that word confusion is the Hebrew word tebel. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, the Apostle Paul said in part, for God is not the author of confusion. Now, this word confusion is from the Greek akatastasia, meaning literally instability or disorder, and is translated as commotion, confusion, or tumult. Well, Paul's right. God forbids indiscriminate sexual unions among his people, either with close relatives or people of pagan cultures. To do so promotes social instability. Now, critics say this discrimination against alien cultures was due to their religion, and all that's necessary is for them to accept Christ, however we're supposed to define that act, so they can become spiritual Israelites, however they define those words, after which we're free to mix it up. Theirs is a more highly evolved religion unknown to our ancestors. A religion that can now ordain aliens, homosexuals, and lesbians to preach the word of righteousness to an increasingly confused, mingled, or promiscuous congregation, unrecognizable to the old and new covenants. Libertines and antichrists will soon achieve numerical superiority in America and will need to be restrained by force. So say the victims of these immoral excesses. These people lobbying now for legislation through political action committees in Washington. It's the Hegelian dialectic process applied to political reform. Exploit a crisis, real or manufactured, such as with an interracial hate crime, then supply the solution by way of anti-hate legislation, each level of which further restricts an open discussion of the problem facing us. Fuel the problem, thesis, lobby against it, antithesis, pass the compromising legislation, synthesis, and then repeat the incremental process of socialist reform. Each new layer of regulation shifts the entire left-right paradigm and its middle-of-the-road center strip further to the left. In this way, a victimized public, represented by tax-exempt organizations with licensed attorneys, approves each and every step in their march towards a global political and economic system built upon a multicultural religion that's totally divorced from the biblical Christianity of our ancestors. While a general understanding of the Bible today falls short of our early American forefathers, the socialist elite are still confronted by and must eradicate one last spiritual roadblock to their program, the law written on the heart of God's people, your conscience. Today's message will be Values Clarification, Part 21. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy, and you are listening to Bottom Line.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
There is only one detox product that stands out above the rest, Micro Plant Powder, and it's available only at hempusa.org. Micro Plant Powder does wonders by removing toxins from the body. Detoxification is a vital process that's extremely important for restoring your health. Micro Plant Powder is available in 8 different formulations, and we can help you choose the one that's perfect for your lifestyle. Micro Plant Powder is 100% chemical-free, non-GMO, anti-inflammatory, gluten-free, and packaged by hand in BPA-free containers. HempUSA.org wants you to be healthy, and Micro Plant Powder is one of the best ways we know to detoxify your body from head to toe, all for about $10 a month. Take back your life and enjoy living again with Micro Plant Powder. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. Micro Plant Powder, available only at hempusa.org.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
Greetings and welcome back to this segment of Datum Line. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 21. In the last several messages, we've been exploring the subject of racial amalgamation in an effort to show why our ancestors, all the way back through biblical times, refrained from the general practice. Only in the last few years has mainstream Christianity begun to applaud and promote this new trend, the consequences of which are horrifyingly displayed for all to see if they'd but open their eyes to those civilizations, such as ancient Egypt and India, that crumbled under the weight of this insidious practice, never to rise again. More recently, in the Western Hemisphere, the little island country of Haiti fell into the same impenetrable swamp from which there was no return. Those who are pushing this agenda have made it a virtual crime to raise an eyebrow in response. So thorough is their control over this subject. If you ever experience the incredible poverty, the moral and physical degradation, the filth and squalor, and the intellectual wasteland of the Third World, then you've seen the fruit of what America has begun to harvest. The further this goes, the more indistinguishable our physical and spiritual traits will be in contrast to other cultures, making it even easier for us to wade deeper into the endless swamp. In our last message, Values Clarification Part 20, we touched upon a controversial passage from the Book of Acts relevant to our immediate subject of global amalgamation. This found in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, which reads in part, that God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Just to give you a little bit of a hint, that's a rather complex verse. The word blood, definition number 2 from Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language for 1828, is kindred, relation by natural descent from a common ancestor. Consanguinity, the word we'll be bringing up a little bit later on in this message. And he cites as a biblical passage, as he often does, that's relevant to this particular definition of kindred, close relationship, Acts chapter 17, and cites the verse that God hath made of one blood all nations of men. Now, because of a book justifying amalgamation, deriving their title from this Bible verse, specifically the words one blood, the biblical answer to racism, authored by Ken Ham, Carl Weiland, and Don Batten, they are sure to accelerate the current trend in mixed, promiscuous, or indiscriminate sexual liaisons between diverse cultures and modern-day Israel in particular. Under the old-time religion of our colonial forefathers, however, this crossing of the more obvious color lines, or racial barriers as they were called, was slow to gain traction. Even during the 20th century, a great many Caucasians never selected their mates from outside the narrow confines of their own nationality. Language itself served as a buffer between people who looked very similar and whose religion and moral standards were very much the same. However, with the wholesale dissemination of humanist doctrine through public schools, like the teaching of evolution under the pretense of science, instead of a belief system called scientism, we see social barriers torn down that would have been unthinkable only a few decades before. We now pretend that two men are lawfully joined in matrimony in the presence of God as husband and wife. All of this, of course, is being legitimized by the political priesthood in Washington. One blood is the rallying cry for modern Christians bent on mixing it up as never before. The book's cover inserting a Caucasian, Negro, and Asian inside one drop of blood to strongly suggest that the Bible endorses the humanist concept of a global village in which God's holy people are merged with the rest of humankind in a genetic soup mix from which there will be no return. But the rest of the verse says that God hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, suggesting that God wanted to limit how far we went with some certain things. So the New Testament didn't alter God's plan for his covenant people Israel, they being the eternal bride of Christ, set apart from everyone else, as would be expected in a godly marriage. That marriage having been identified somewhat in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, when God said, "And ye, that being Israel, shall be holy unto me, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed you from other people, that ye should be mine." Now, you can change your religious doctrines, and some of you probably have a few times already, from nominal Christianity to maybe agnostic, and maybe then to atheist, maybe from one denomination to another, perhaps in search of a more definitive biblical faith. But you cannot change the miraculous stuff from which you are made in the image of God. the DNA, the chromosomes. And that which science has recently discovered is far more complex and far more minute than what can be seen, even with an electron microscope. But if you should cross a line that God forbids, and the undefiled law written on your heart confirms, then your descendants will be changed forever. When God says in Hebrews chapter 8, 8 through 10, that his law is written on the heart and mind of his New Testament people, Israel, confirming what he told their physical descendants, or I should say ancestors, in Jeremiah chapter 31, 31 through 34, then how would modern science explain the means by which this was accomplished, if not by genetic imprinting in the helix of our DNA, perhaps? To our ancient predecessors, the idea was incomprehensible on its face, but by faith, they believed God was able to somehow write his law in their heart, which is in the mind. Do you? And if he wrote his law on your Israelite heart or mind, might he also insist that you not marry someone of an alien culture so as to perpetuate that law on the heart to the next generation? In other words, could it be lost by mixing it up in a sexual way, which God never intended? Remember, he told Israel not even to gender strange kinds of livestock or to mingle diverse seeds in their fields. Verses that we've covered in a previous broadcast. So, is Monsanto playing God by mixing it up in the plant kingdom? And are there consequences? And did God tell us not to do this in the Bible, which is Israel's operating manual? Is society now playing God by mixing it up with the most complex life forms on the planet in a way that perhaps God did not intend? Concerning Israel, David in the Psalms said at Psalm 106, they, Israel, did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils and shed innocent blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. This from Psalm 106, verse 34 through 38. Sounds an awful lot like America, because we've already sacrificed now approximately 50 million unborn children. And to whom? The people who practice that part of aborticide. Not abortion, but aborticide. And what is their religion? I can guarantee you it is not a rightly divided Christian religion. So, to whose God are these children being sacrificed? Here's our music. Sounds like we've got another break. This is Values Clarification, and I'm Bruce G. McCarthy.
Dozens of diseases ranging from the common cold and flu to MRSA and pneumonia are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Fortunately, a simple, safe, and effective alternative exists. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that is safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold and yeast, and a limited number of parasites. It can even purify water. Supernatural Silver comes in both liquid and gel for internal or external use. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, research institutions, and nursing homes, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon in the fight against disease. To see how Supernatural Silver can give you and your loved ones protection and peace of mind, go to SupernaturalSilver.com. Use the promo code PROTECTED for 20% off and like us on Facebook.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. Escapeharassment.com.
That moment of panic. Sheer terror, really. You're afraid to answer the phone. Frightened by who might be at the door. If you're facing foreclosure or being harassed by debt collectors, you know the feeling. You need to visit whatliesinyourdebt.com to turn the tables on the banksters, collection agencies, and other crooks. Whatliesinyourdebt.com has solutions. Whatliesinyourdebt.com features live training webinars from experts, a member forum, support from experts who've been where you are right now and came out the other side in a better financial situation. If you are like millions of Americans who are behind on their mortgage, behind on their credit cards, or just being harassed by debt collectors, then this system is for you. We promise. If you cannot stop your foreclosure, even if it's imminent, if you cannot stop those debt collectors from bugging you, if you cannot clean up your credit, and finally, if you cannot make a few thousand bucks during the entire process, make money from the debt collectors, yes, at whatliesinyourdebt.com, we will refund your money 100% in the first 60 days. Don't fear the bill collectors anymore. Visit whatliesinyourdebt.com.
Greetings and welcome back to this half of Datum Line. Today's message, Values Clarification, Part 21. And on the other side of this break, I had quoted from Psalm 106, verse 34 to 38, concerning how the Israelites had sacrificed their children unto the idols of Canaan. They actually slaughtered them. And America is doing that today. And it doesn't speak well for our ability to hold fast the word of God as first delivered unto the saints, does it? Nevertheless, God has preserved a remnant from generation to generation. But now here we are, 2,000 years after Christ's redemptive work at Calvary, which was done on behalf of his people Israel, to whom the New Testament applies. And now mainstream religion has finally brought forth a book entitled One Blood, by which to break free from its spiritual moorings and mix it up with all the people round about us. But our early American Christian ancestors, all the way back through the Bible, were not of this persuasion. So let's examine another portion of the Bible to see why this is so. The books of Ezra and Nehemiah seem kind of inapplicable to modern-day Christians who don't think that part of the Bible applies to them. But to many of our more immediate American ancestors, they were valid scripture, equal to the book of Acts and the Hebrew epistle. Now, as with the prophet Ezra, who we had read from in our last broadcast, He had returned with many other Israelites from the Babylonian captivity to Jerusalem in 457 B.C. The prophet Nehemiah also deals with the Israelites' unlawful mixed marriages to certain aliens nearby during the same time frame. See, Nehemiah had made the four-month trek to Jerusalem from Babylon 13 years later, in the year 444 B.C., in order to assist in the oversight of the city's reconstruction. So we'll turn to the book of Nehemiah at chapter 13 this time, and we'll just break in at verse 23 and read to verse 27. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 23. In those days also saw I, Nehemiah, Jews, that'd be Judeans, that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab. Now, these are forbidden people. Verse 24. And their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, the language of the Israelites, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair. Well, he's getting physical. And made them swear by God, saying, ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? And we read about that in a previous broadcast. Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, even him, King Solomon, did outlandish women cause to sin. That word outlandish there is the word nakri, which is one of several forms of stranger. There are probably six or seven different words in the Hebrew for stranger. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? So those are a few words from the book of Nehemiah, which follows the book of Ezra, and the same time frame. Like Ezra chapter 9, covered in our last broadcast, this would have been a difficult chapter for our colonial ancestors to overlook, in light of the fact that they had close proximity to various North American Indians, identified as savages by Thomas Jefferson in the Declaration of Independence. Now, as a passing thought, if, as Jefferson also stated in that document, quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, end quote, then are we to presume as self-evident that the, quote, merciless Indian savages, end quote, of whom he wrote in the Declaration of Independence, were created equal with Anglo-Europeans, later identified as we the people in the preamble to the Constitution? No, maybe this is a forbidden question, but let's ask another one. Were the Africans, he, Jefferson, and others held as chattel, created equal as viewed by Anglo-Europeans who conquered all obstacles in settling this continent? Did Jefferson believe it? Or was he speaking to colonial counterparts of the same racial stock as the English people across the Atlantic to whom he made reference in the Declaration of Independence when he said, quote, nor have we been wanting in attention to our British brethren. I'll stop there. British brethren does not sound like a synonym, like a synonym, for savages. He went on to say, we have conjured them, those being the British brethren, we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred. Well, if we were kindred with the English people, was he also acknowledging at the same time that we were kindred with the savages of North America? Just a question. He went on to say in the Declaration of Independence, they too, the British brethren, they too have been deaf to the voice of justice and of, catch this word, consanguinity. What's that word mean? Well, it means it's a relationship established by blood as opposed to a relationship established by marriage. Now, we'll come back to Mr. Jefferson's perspective in a moment regarding the African population in particular. Sexual relations with whom would result in mulatto offspring, a mulatto being the product of a white or Caucasian and a Negro, says Noah Webster in 1828, and Webster's New World Dictionary for 1966, and Random House College Dictionary for 1982. The word mulatto, by the way, comes from a Spanish word, mulo or mulo, M-U-L-O, meaning young mule. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, a mule is the spurious and usually sterile offspring of a horse and a donkey. Now, every non-Anglo-European culture, in other words, every non-Caucasoid culture, is, among other distinctions, characterized by the worship of a god or goddess very unlike the god of Israel, to whom Israel was and is still bound by covenant, old and new, called the Old and New Testament, by the way. While coincidentally holding both the Hebrew and Greek biblical texts in their hands, many of America's early ancestors identified themselves as one and the same with the people of both covenants. So what the scriptures, all the scriptures, had to say, they accepted as being said to them, as the literal and spiritually quickened people to whom it all applied, from Genesis to Revelation. As an early arrival on this continent, facing an alien native culture, and the pure blacks of Africa who were later brought to America, what would you have made of this verse taken from Exodus chapter 34, where it says, "Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves. For thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the land, and they go a-whoring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods. And one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice, and thou take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go a-whoring after their gods, and make thy sons go a-whoring after their gods." This from Exodus 34, verse 12 through 16. I'm not asking you to believe what this says, or even to understand its full implications, but rather consider the possibility that anyone who accepted the Bible as the inspired word of God took to heart its moral and lawful guidelines. Why would anyone read a set of instructions and then ignore them? Why bother read it if you don't plan to apply what it says? Of course, it's not the popular book it once was, so most Americans can't understand why anyone would have been guided by a set of instructions we have no general interest in reading today. But that's what makes modern socialist America different from the constitutional republic and free enterprise system that it once was. No, it wasn't perfect, and they knew it. And that's why they said you could amend the Constitution that they wrote for a people who were far different from those who now partake of the cultural blessings we still enjoy. Here's our music. Values Clarification Part 21. I'm Bruce G. McCarthy. This is Datamine.
The current declaration of martial law and coup in Thailand, while significantly impacting tourism, has been met by expats and in-country tourists with a what-coup attitude. While internal political changes must be made before the upcoming elections, the curfew is now largely ignored in tourist areas. Translation? Great hotels and cheap flights at unheard-of savings. Veterans, VA lost your paperwork again? Visit AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com for life-saving treatments and surgery at fractions of U.S. prices. And a really cool vacation afterwards. Hit us up at AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey neighbor, what are you doing digging? You had a heart attack last year.
Oh, I know. I was told no more hard labor.
Then why are you digging?
Well, I've been taking Extendovite. It's been approved to help my heart.
Extendovite? Is that a new drug?
No, not a drug. It's more like an herbal combination made from garlic and cayenne.
Herbal? How can that help?
Well, actually, we've taken herbs for thousands of years. Extendivite is doing the job for me.
Does your doctor know about Extendivite?
Yeah, my doctor knows, and he said it seems to be working for you, so don't stop taking it. I feel great taking Extendivite. I don't want to stop.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The united voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
Herbal Healer Academy presents its spring specials. All sizes of our 500 parts per million colloidal silver are on sale, along with products to help you lose weight, like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic. That's not all. Anti-Parasite Intestinal Freedom, Wormwood Plus Complex, Stevia Liquid Sweetener, and the Super Enzymes are on sale. Visit HerbalHealer.com to order yours. Request our free 128-page catalog. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time. HerbalHealer.com.
It's time to utilize your Second Amendment right. No better way than at Knob Creek Gun Range. Check out the large variety with over 3,000 guns in stock. Also, reloading supplies, ammunition, and low admission. Only $10 per person per day. $5 for children 12 and under. And 50% off for active duty and retired military with valid ID. If you don't own any firearms, no problem. You can rent one of ours. Knob Creek Gun Range supplies all your shooting needs. Go to KnobCreekRange.com for more information. Range memberships are available. Visit KnobCreekRange.com today.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Welcome back to this final segment of this installment of Datum Line, Values Clarification, Part 21. You know, what listeners appreciate about alternative media is that the information and perspective are different from mainstream media, affording an opportunity to connect those frustrating dots that so oftentimes defy being linked together. Why? Because of wholesale obfuscation that accompanies an official story. It's generally not so much about what's said in the way of a blatant lie, but what's not said so as to create a false impression. I mentioned Thomas Jefferson a moment ago, the author of our Declaration of Independence, a member of the Virginia legislature, the governor of Virginia, who was seated in the Continental Congress, a minister to France, Secretary of State, and our third president, among other distinctions. In the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, that memorial dedicated in 1943, there is carved in the granite wall a statement from his autobiography, which was published in 1829 at page 1. It says, quote, "Nothing is more certainly written in the book of fate than that these people," referring to the American Negroes, "are to be free," end quote. From this clear and simple statement, it's obvious to anyone who visits the Jefferson Memorial that he believed in full political and social equality for the emancipated Africans, right? Well, that's what a blatant omission of historical fact, and not an outright lie, is able to accomplish. His words, not carved in that wall were the next two sentences from his autobiography that provides a completely different perspective regarding the first and only sentence we're supposed to remember. Sentence number two, quote, "Nor is it less certain that the two races, equally free, cannot live in the same government." Sentence number three says why. Quote, "Nature, habit, opinion has drawn indelible lines of distinction between them." End quote. So wrote Thomas Jefferson in his autobiography. Now, most of us, not being avid historians, would never find this information on our own. But someone from the Deep South who grew up during the Civil Rights era of the 1960s might find his way to this lost bit of history. If such a person tried to tell the rest of us what he found, however, he or she would be subjected to a media assault sufficient to create widespread public prejudice against this former Klansman, even if he was elected to the Louisiana House of Representatives. I watched as two media gladiators tried to destroy his credibility on Crossfire many years ago, but David Duke came through that ordeal quite well, as I recall. In his 717-page autobiography, My Awakening, my copy of which was published in 2000, and it's substantiated by 1,037 footnotes, David Duke presents an eloquent argument, contrary to the politically correct perspective pushed by mainstream media, that even he, like most everyone else, had once eagerly accepted. The blatant omission at the Jefferson Memorial was from page 39 of his book. The next three concerning Abraham Lincoln are from page 40. Here's one from Mr. Lincoln. Quote, "Negro equality? Fudge." By the way, did you know that they had fudge back in 1859? I didn't. Lincoln went on to say, "How long in the government of a God great enough to make and maintain this universe shall there continue knaves," those are dishonest, unprincipled men, "to vend," meaning to sell, "and fools to gulp so low a piece of demagogism," that's emotional propaganda, "as this." This from the collected works of Abraham Lincoln, edited by Roy P. Basler, Rutgers University Press, Volume 3, page 399, that published in 1953. In the same collected works of Abraham Lincoln, this time at Volume 2, pages 408 and 409, appears the following statement Lincoln made in a public address at Springfield, Illinois, June 26, 1857. Quote, "A separation of the races is the only perfect preventative of amalgamation. But as immediate separation is impossible, the next best thing is to keep them apart where they are not already together," he went on to say. "Such separation, if ever effected at all, must be effected by colonization." Now here, he was referring to the goal of the American Colonization Society that was organized in January of 1817 in Washington to transport free Negroes from the United States to an African settlement called Liberia, there's a country still there, purchased by Americans for the purpose, the capital being Monrovia, named for President James Monroe, who was one of the members of this American Colonization Society. Some of its better-known supporters were Thomas Jefferson, Francis Scott Key, who composed our national anthem, Andrew Jackson, Daniel Webster, Henry Clay, James Madison, and Abraham Lincoln. Over 11,000 American Negroes were resettled in Liberia prior to the war between the states. Now, Mr. Lincoln continues. He says, quote, "The enterprise, colonization, is a difficult one, but where there is a will, there is a way. And what colonization needs now is a hearty will. Will springs from the two elements of moral sense and self-interest. Let us be brought to believe it is morally right, and at the same time favorable to, or at least not against, our interest to transfer the African to his native clime, or habitat, and we shall find a way to do it, however great the task may be." end quote. During the well-known Lincoln-Douglas presidential debates held in Charleston, Illinois, Azee's not-so-well-remembered sentiments by Mr. Lincoln, which never made it into my history textbooks of the 1950s and 60s back in the state of Maine. Quote, I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of bringing about, in any way, the social and political equality of the white and black races. I am not, nor ever have been, in favor of making voters or jurors of Negroes, nor qualifying them to hold office, nor to intermarry with white people. And I will say in addition to this that there is a physical difference between the white and black races which I believe will ever forbid the two races living together on terms of social and political equality. End quote. Did you ever read this in your American history class or textbook? Probably not. This is found in the Collected Works of Abraham Lincoln, Volume 3, page 145 to 146. This taken from the fourth debate with Stephen A. Douglas at Charleston, Illinois. That debate conducted on September 18, 1858. The differences of which Lincoln spoke have been somewhat blurred over time through increasing amalgamation, while the popular deceptions and omissions about Lincoln's emancipation program have been profound. Dishonest civil rights advocates, both black and white, will insist that the truth remain forever concealed to propagate and perpetuate a useful lie. Unfortunately, the longer this continues, the more terrifying will be the nightmare from which we must be set free if either culture is to survive. If either culture is to survive. Lincoln said, quote, I have urged the colonization of the Negroes and I shall continue. My Emancipation Proclamation was linked with this plan. Did you catch those words? He said, there is no room for two distinct races of white men in America, much less for two distinct races of whites and blacks. He says, I can conceive of no greater calamity than the assimilation of the Negro into our social and political life as our equal. This from the Collected Works, Volume 5, page 371, quoting Lincoln's address on colonization, spoken to a deputation of Negroes in Washington on August 14, 1862. His assassination would halt that program. I wonder if that was a coincidence. I often wonder, why was he assassinated? See, the war's over. Everybody should be happy. Well, this has been another broadcast called Datum Line, Values Clarification Part 21. Will this series ever end? Well, I hope so. Hope this has been of interest to you. In search of the truth. Thank you for listening. Have a good day.